Psalm 46, verses 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Therefore, we will not fear, actually, is in our the way we speak, we would say it that way. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And I saw the psalm in a very prophetic way. I knew since, sometimes I don't know almost until the time we come here for an opening scripture, but I've known that this was going to be it since last Monday, I believe. And so I've had all week to just meditate and vegetate on it and think about it. And so I wrote some things down out of this. In the first verse, where it says God is our refuge, I underlined the word our because I'm looking at the body of Christ, okay? But I'm seeing you all as well because we're all here together today. God is our, but then I fine-tuned it and I put the word my in there. And I think that's really important. If you were to read that out loud, if you would, you might say, God is my refuge and strength. Would you do that? There's power in that. Just say that together. God is my refuge and strength. And stop right there. Think about what you just spoke. What is a refuge?
A place of safety.
We see those a lot to protect rare animals, birds. When Faith and I worked on a golf course in Florida, it was a bald eagle sanctuary. And the golf course, the name of it was Eagle Creek. But those birds were always there. But it is a place of safety, and it's also a place of strength. People that don't know the Lord are very limited in what they're able to stand against. And they don't have anything beyond their spiritual or their physical strength. But to us as believers, the advantages are just powerful in how you can take your stand and not feel like you have to compromise. You can't be beaten into giving something up if your heart is really in it and your faith is in the Lord. This is one of the blessings that we have as believers. And it says a very present, not just present, but very present, a present. Yeah, how many times did you see Jesus use the word verily? It meant that everything he said after that was absolute 100% truth. And I've often looked at this scripture when I go on missions trips. And I feel isolated away from our country. I feel isolated away from us as a church family. I've learned not to go by feelings because I don't generally like to let my quote-unquote feelings dictate my spiritual life. It should be the other way around. But when this says that he's very present, that's very meaningful to me because I feel like I go in a spiritual bubble. But we bring his presence everywhere we go because he indwells us by the Spirit. You go to a gas station and there's no customers there. In 5 minutes, everybody's pulling in because you bring his presence of prosperity and provision everywhere you go. It shows up. It follows you. You go to the post office, nobody's there. You come out and you wonder how you found a parking spot. You go to a store, very few customers. You go there and all of a sudden, these are things to be aware of. Maybe you haven't been. And all of a sudden, there's more people in the store. You go to a restaurant, nobody there. And while you're there, people start coming in. It's an amazing truth that everywhere we go as a believer, we bring his presence. I love that, going to the bowling alley. I like coming in there and God's bowling with me. That might not seem a big thing to some people, but yet it is, because the effects of his Spirit dwelling in you changes the atmosphere of a room. It changes the atmosphere of a place where you're working or where you are, and you can't escape it because you bring him with you. There was a couple many years ago that wanted to take Faith and I to Israel, and they were going to pay all of the expenses of that trip. And I felt really excited on the one hand, but then I was a little bit troubled about it, and I think I said I'd rather go to India. And this was my reasoning. Now, I wasn't trying to be rude. I don't deliberately set out to wreck people's existence and say things that are hurtful. But these words came out of my mouth. I don't need to go to Israel to see where Jesus was, because he is where I am. Amen. And that was my answer. Would my physical person like to go? I think I'd see a lot of interesting things and really appreciate what we've learned from Scripture. But at that time, that was the simplest of revelations of this truth that I had. Because he's everywhere we go. You can't escape it. And so, this is how my notes went. God is, I put my in there, my refuge and strength, a very present. Very present help, but I put very present, the indwelling Holy Spirit from the Greek Parakletos, the comforter, the helper, the counselor, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener and standby, help in trouble. I mean, there are seven different functions of the Holy Spirit in that word comforter or helper. Helper is one of them. And so we as believers, we may see a lot of adversities. We may see a lot of things in our lifetime that I still have those two words, tumultuous and turbulent times. But in those times, these are things that I'm reminded of. It's kind of like the antidote. You know, for us as believers, there's a spiritual antidote for the times that we're living in. And verse 2, therefore, we will not fear. I changed those words back because kind of the way King James was written, sometimes the sentence structure is a little bit different. But it really means, therefore, we will not fear. Well, once again, I underlined the word we, because I'm thinking of us, but I'm thinking of the body of Christ. This is very prophetic of the body of Christ. And I put the word I in there. Therefore, I will not fear. And it's helpful once in a while if you also take that statement of faith for you and say, I will not fear. Therefore, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And in that, I see things like earthquakes, volcano activity, natural things that happen in our world. And we as believers should not be fearful of those things. Now, let's spiritualize that. There are times in a person's life when it feels like the whole earth just fell out from under them. You know that feeling. This is fresh. And I haven't told a lot of you, but my youngest brother suddenly died in Florida back in, now I've already forgotten, it was like in November. And he was just with us this fall. And Faith and I will be going to Florida for his memorial service. He was a veteran of 20 years in the Navy, and he was in his 60s. But to my siblings, my sisters, it was like they were devastated with that news. And I can honestly say I wasn't devastated. It wasn't that I was heartless. It wasn't that I didn't care. It wasn't that it wasn't meaningful and important to me. But it didn't wipe me out. And I know the reason I wasn't wiped out is because of truths like these that are so real down inside of me all the time. These are things I ponder and think about, because if anybody needs to be stable in tough times, it needs to be us, the body of Christ. Amen. And so I don't care how long this takes today. We're going to go through it. I've determined that this isn't going to hang up until the 48th of February. That could be a really long time. So bear with me.
Rick?
Yes.
Yeah, and also, probably everybody knows this, but the word sila basically means think about it.
Think about it, yes. Ponder.
Ponder.
Yes, yes. Yes, Peggy.
I want you to know that what you're saying right now is from God, definitely from God, because I just read all this. And it's like, I don't watch news, I don't listen to that stuff, and people said about all this stuff that's coming against us and everything. Well, God said to fear not. And it's like, it just says that everything can go to hell in a handbasket, but God is there, and he said, do not fear. So it's like, I never had this feeling before. It's like, you know how you get something happens bad and you get this like a cement feeling that's just there and you can't mm-hmm. get rid of it? Mm-hmm. Well, I have this little cement thing, but it's from God. And I know that no matter what comes, so if I keep my eyes on Jesus and not on the world, not on what people say, that I'm going to be fine. But it's when we take our eyes off Jesus, you know? So it's like, it's really neat, you know, that God... Because it's like, you know, I always ask God to share something, you know, make sure that I'm on the right track. And when you read this morning, it's like, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's like that I know that God means, don't fear. Why are we going to fear? You know, why are we going to spend our time looking at the bad news and all the bad stuff? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Talk about what he's doing for us. From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, he's always taking care of the people. So why are we, you know, going to want to go out there and listen to that crap? So anyway, this is very special, and this is definitely of God. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, carrying on, verse 3. Though the waters roar, and be troubled. I saw that in the Connecticut River. I'd gone down to Ballast Falls last week. And there was such a rise in the river from the flooding rains we had. And Faith and I spent another 10-hour day in our cellar, sucking water out of our cellar with a shop vac. We took turns. We kept it under control. But the river, the ice broke up. And it was all jammed up from Ballast Falls to the power station, all the way back up the river as far as you could see. And when I looked at that river, I looked at it, it was roaring down through. Sometimes it comes as high as almost the bottom of the covered bridge in Windsor. I've seen ice against the bottom of that bridge. And be troubled. That water just churns and boils and rolls and the power of water is so strong, it destroys and removes everything in its path. and troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. In all of this, there is a river. Verse 4, there is a river. I want to talk to you a little bit about this river. Last night, some of us gathered for prayer last night, and Barbara and I were just chatting a little bit, and I was reminded of a Pentecostal song that many of us used to sing years ago. There's a river of life flowing out of me, makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, set the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out of me, spring up a well within my soul. This is the river that I see prophetically that this is talking about. It's that river of life that flows out of every one of us as a believer. It's the spirit life of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and living through us and permeating our very existence and touching and ministering life everywhere it goes. And so, once again, I made a reference to that. The indwelling Holy Spirit, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Now, I know historically and biblically, Jerusalem is the city of God. But I also know it's the body of Christ. And I'll tell you why. Would you like to know why? You would? Cool. Stay tuned. And it has to do with the rest of that verse. The city of God, the holy place of the plural tabernacles of the Most High. When I think of tabernacles, I think of places where people gather to meet with the Lord, but also a dwelling place for the Spirit. And I'll talk about that in a little bit later, but I would like for you please to come to Ezekiel's vision in chapter 47 of Ezekiel. This is 12 verses, and I want to show you the value of going back and looking at a man who had a vision, and he had an angel with him, and they were measuring the depth of the river. Remember, Marlene, last night you were talking about how it started small and it increased, and it came out of the door of the temple, Ezekiel 47. And I also see this as very prophetic to the body of Christ. And when we're, it's the last chapter, it's very pertinent to that period of time that we're living in. Nope, that's Jeremiah. Keep going, boy. Keep going to the right. Don't hustle off to the left. Stay to the right side. Okay. Chapter 47. And this is the angel talking to Ezekiel in verse 6. And he said unto me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me up and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, verse 8, These waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river comes. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eneglahim. There shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, that's the Mediterranean Sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, and neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the heat and the leaf therefore for medicine. And if I could just sum that up in a few words, it's talking about the life-giving, the life-carrying fruit of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life, and the tabernacle is you, which I'm going to read next. But all of these things are in these few verses of Psalm 46. And that's why those scriptures are so meaningful to me, because I see them on a different level, maybe. I see them from a different perspective. I see another layer of revelation, another layer of understanding about the significance of why the believer should not be fearful during calamities and things that we may see in our generation that clearly are evidence that people would say we're living in the last days, but who knows how many days it's going to be? Who knows how many years it's going to be? But to our generation, these are some significant things that we're bearing witness of even now for our generation. And so it's a very meaningful portion of Scripture. And so if you notice back in that verse 4, come back to Psalm 46. We'll come back to something that's very significant here, that I noticed the word tabernacles was plural. Did you notice that when we were reading it? Did it ever make you wonder? Why is it plural? Well, I would like to offer this as a possibility. It's a Rick thought, okay? I can't say, God told me to tell you this. But it's a thought for you to ponder. Why would it not be? Yes. So let's, each one of you, as a born-again believer, are the house, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Don't think you're not worthy, because that's what the blood of Jesus did. It cleaned your house, because a new occupant was about to take up residence. The very presence, the very reality of the Holy Spirit of the living God dwells inside of each one of you. God doesn't have to meet in a desert in a tent anymore. Not that he couldn't, not that he wouldn't. If you took a camping trip, you'd bring him in with you. But you are his dwelling place. Now you're his temple. And that is huge. That's a biggie. Now, verse 5, God is in the midst of her. Wherever believers gather, did Jesus not say that wherever two or three gather in my name, I'm in your midst? Did he not say that, or did I make that up? It's true, isn't it? Look at all the times you've read it, and you've read it so many times you know it. We know he's here corporately, not only individually, but among us, because all it takes is two, and he's there. That's why one with God is a majority. It says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Notice it said her and she. The church, the bride, the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the true church. God shall help her. And that, right early. In other words, he's never too late. He's always on time. Don't sweat it. God's got it. So when I see that psalm, I see it very prophetic pertaining to the body of Christ. And I'm just sharing in my notes some reasons why I see it like that. And maybe you do as well. And I'm a Johnny come lately, and I caught up to the vision later in my life. I don't know. But these are some things that I see. And I find them very encouraging, because when I get to the final meat of what I have to share after the music later, what I see looking out the window and what I see looking in the room, the contrast, it's very profound. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. I know it's a stretch for an opening scripture, but that's the way it came to me, and I tried to put them in an alignment that I really sensed the Holy Spirit was having me put there for a particular place to go with it. 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know, say I know, that if my earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. All right? Our earthly house. That's our physical body. Of this tabernacle. Tabernacle is a dwelling place for the Spirit. And if our bodies just dissolved, I think of in The Wizard of Oz how the Wicked Witch of the West, she just kind of dissolved and melted and left her black hat on the ground. And it's like, I wonder if that's how the rapture will be. Will it be like it? They'll just find our clothing and we'll be gone. But you see, when that tabernacle is dissolved, the only thing that will remain will be the Spirit. But our bodies house the Spirit. We house the Holy Spirit, and Paul made a very good reference to that. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, the one you're occupying, see, we're still living in our earth suit. That's why I call them an earth suit, because when we graduate, we won't need them anymore. We're dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands. That's important for us as believers to see ourselves the way God sees us. That's really helpful when you're having a bad hair day. Or you just wake up on the wrong side of the floor because you fell out of bed and say, I'll just get up when I wake up. No big deal. A building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. See, the real you and I in the earth suit, that's where our eternal life comes in. We're never going to die. Physically, we will. Spiritually, no way. Our life is now eternal. All of these things are part of the sum, and we only looked at the first five verses. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Just like John 3:16. Oh, I love it when Paul asks this question. So let's pretend he's asking us this question. Know you not? Do you not know? He says you are. Not that you're going to be. Not that you might be. Not if you'd only been here last Tuesday, but you couldn't get here until next week. Doesn't say any of that. It says, know you not that you are. You, individually. And I took the word you and put me in there. Do I not know for myself that I am the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in me? You can't get it any clearer than that. It is such a truth. And how helpful that is to know and really get it down and ponder these things sometimes. And it makes a big difference in how your day could go. And then we come to the last one. Yes? Did I hear somebody say my name? I thought I heard Rick. Oh, gee, maybe it was the Lord. Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Benny Hinn got in big trouble for making that comment. Not by the Lord. All them religious folks really nailed him for that. Well, I guess I'll be nailed with him. 2 Corinthians 6:16. So we go back just again to 2 Corinthians 6:16. Oh, this is so precious. This is so rich. This is so, if you came today to come and be encouraged and built up by the Spirit of the Lord today, oh my, it's a beautiful day to be here, because these words are, I spent all week thinking about them, and then to actually get to verbalize them and hear them out loud, it is just such a great reminder even to me. But here it is. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, the things that we sometimes put in place of the Lord, and on a priority basis sometimes. Oh, but if that happens, don't forget the blood. The Spirit will lead us back to where we should be. It said, for you are, not you were, not that you might be, not that you're going to be. It says you are. He reinforced that in the second letter to the Corinthian believers. Because apparently, Paul discerned that there were people who were trying to talk them out of it and go back to idolatry and all of the... The church at Corinth came out of a place where there were stones and wood carvings and statues to gods and goddesses. It was a very pagan city. And so when the gospel was preached there and the people that made up the Corinthian church got saved and started gathering together, it was a huge conflict between that which they came out of and that which they came into, if you will. And so when Paul made that comment about idols, he was, how can you now, the temple of God, now you know the truth. The Spirit of truth is the one who dwells in you. And you don't have to be going around through the city and looking at all of these statues, looking at all of these idols, looking at all at the relics of the past. You don't have to do that anymore, because the truth is that the one true God dwells in you. You are now his temple. And you don't have to go looking for him in a statue. You don't have to go looking for him in a building. You don't have to go looking for him anywhere, because he is where you are. He's inside of you by his Spirit. And then he says, I will dwell in them. Imagine that. God said that. I will dwell in my people. And walk in them. Remember how in the beginning in the garden, God came down and walked in the coolness of the evening with Adam and Eve in the garden? You can go back and read that, how Adam and Eve had no fear and the Lord would come and walk with them in the coolness of the evening. Oh, that is so personal. It's like, you know, you can go to Springfield and there's a bike path and a nice place to walk. But just imagine a nice place like that and God walking with you. Well, you don't even have to imagine that it's true. He walked with you from your car to inside the building today. I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And therefore in Psalm 46, those first five verses are so profound to me that I see that as a beautiful picture of the time we're living in and the people of God that we're living with, and that we all know each other and we're all part of that same family. So I would just say today, just like he said, fear not. He's a very present help in time of trouble.